Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Return to Camp Blood, episode 83. Community Spotlight with Josh Ludeman. This episode is brought to you by Beyond Disgusting Studios.
This is
cursed. Jason's alive. He killed my friend. Now he's coming for me.
He's got a death curse.
Jason's a legend.
I'm Mrs. Warren, an old friend of the Christies.
Jason belongs in hell.
You're doing the witches stay here.
Never
come back again. You see, Jason was my son, and today is his birthday. Welcome to another episode of Return to Camp Blood. I am your host, Chris, and tonight, Nate and Eric sat down and talked with Josh, who's the owner and operator of Beyond Disgusting Studios. Nate already gave him a pretty good intro, so I'll let him take it from here.
All right, so tonight we have with us Josh Ludeman from Beyond Disgusting Studios, all the way out in sunny California. How you doing tonight, Josh?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. I appreciate you joining the show. For those of you that might not know about Beyond Disgusting Studios, you can check them out. Josh has a website, beyonddisgustingstudios.com. Josh offers, for the cosplayers out there, a multitude of Jason Voorhees outfits. He also does some hockey mask painting and does some 3D printing and some prop making. So just to kick things off tonight, what got you into Friday the 13th, Josh?
To be honest, when I was around 8 years old, my grandparents used to rent a lot of movies. So every time they went to the movie store, I would go with them, and they'd do their thing looking at their movies, and I would cross by the horror section. So when I was 8, I was pretty much scared of the aisle. So I would kind of like walk past it right away. And then one day I was like, you know, I'm going to check out these movies. And I guess my nightmares and fears of passing by that section turned around, and I just saw the artwork and the cover art behind the movies and stuff, and I just fell in love with everything. And then from that point on, I kind of got into horror movies, and mostly it was Friday the 13th that started a whole another world for me.
So it sounds like you're of the age where the VHS days basically kick-started that for you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, those were definitely the days with the movie store posters and, you know, all the stuff that they had in the stores at that time. So what's your favorite film of the franchise?
I want to say probably part 4.
Yeah, that seems to be a lot of people's favorites. So how long have you been in the business of the costuming and the prop making stuff? I know you've been around the block for a little while now.
I would say give or take maybe 8 years.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I knew it had to been probably pushing, you know, at least 10. So, but yeah, I mean, for those of you that maybe are not familiar, Josh also does offer some stuff from, you know, the Halloween films and some of the other stuff, but he does offer, you know, quite a bit for the Friday fans out there. So what seems to be the, you know, your hot ticket item right now?
Ooh, that's a good one. Honestly, it's pretty much more costumes. Like, a lot of people like coveralls for some ever reason. I've like been hit up for a lot of coveralls from Rob Zombie's Halloween. And yeah, I think that's probably the hot seller lately. But as of right now, they're kind of harder to get because they don't manufacture those coveralls anymore. So I have to get them secondhand. And usually, yeah, that's probably the hottest seller so far.
So are those just, and I know this isn't Friday related, but all right, did he just use Big Mac or Big Yank coveralls the same as what Carpenter and used? Is that what you guys use, or?
Well, pretty much they're Carhartt coveralls.
Mm.
And pretty much you just buy the coveralls, take out the lining, wash them a few times, and just weather them. Pretty simple.
Right on.
Yeah, I know you offer the Friday the 13th 2009 remake jackets, which, you know, not a lot of artists out there offer. I kind of thought maybe that would be your, you know, one of your bigger sellers.
Yeah, well, the reason for that is because the upper jacket is really hard to get. That's another piece that's not manufactured, and I had to get those secondhand as well. I know back around when the movie came out, 2009, 2008, you can get those, like, pretty much easily. You can buy, like, what, five at a time through Woolrich, and now they're, like, almost impossible to find.
Yeah, I've noticed that a little bit. You and I have had a couple talks. You know, some of the sizes are, you know, very limited, so it's kind of like what's available, you know, what's available at the moment if you're looking for a costume kind of a thing.
Yeah, totally.
So, but out of your Friday costumes, obviously, I noticed you do the part seven, and, you know, maybe you can tell us a little bit about that. I know that's got to be an extremely time-consuming, you know, costume to produce.
Yeah, totally. The part seven is, like, probably the most time-consuming costumes I do. Like, I just don't add random rips and tears and just a little bit. I really try to, it's pretty much almost just like fabric, you know, it barely holds itself of how many rips I put on. And if you look at the screen used costume, it's pretty much, it looked like it went through a paper shredder on what it looks like. And I take my time making sure I do all the rips and tears, and then the skin pieces I add to the costume, and, you know, all that takes a long time. I mean, the wait time for one of those could be up to 2 months, just how much time it takes.
Yeah, and just looking at your website, it obviously looks like that you offer basically full costumes, you know, obviously with hoods and masks and some of the other components involved, and basically people can order from you and basically get a full setup shipped right to their door. Is that pretty much how I'm understanding it?
Yes, totally.
Awesome, awesome. And obviously you offer hockey masks too. What basically got you started? Was it the hockey mask painting, or was it the costumes that kind of got you, you know, kick-started?
I'm sure you guys remember the Fright stuff back then.
So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, when I was 15, I bought my first hockey mask blank, and I fell in love with just the blanks and painting your own hockey mask, period. And throughout the form, you know, there was a bunch of artists, tips and tricks and stuff like that. And I just followed a lot of artists, and it kind of made me want to paint every Hawk from the series. And it kind of just kickstarted just from Fright stuff, you know, with all the drama aside. Without Fright stuff, I wouldn't be here today on, you know, doing everything.
Yeah. And I remember a while back, cause I actually owned one, you had the hero mold of the part eight. And I was thinking maybe you were one of the ones that had the part seven too. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I do remember you having the part eight mold blanks that you were offering.
Yes, I have the seven and the eight.
Yeah, I actually have one of those that Tim Schultz painted, and I actually got it signed by Kane, you know, later on. So, but if I'm not mistaken, you don't still offer those, do you?
I offer the plastic ones. I just don't offer the resin or fiberglass ones.
That's it. I know I seen something about that. Do you have any plans, you know, to add any of the other mask versions to your website anytime soon?
Yeah, I would like to. I mean, as you can see, I'm probably the only person that offers the Jason Goes to Hell poster mask. I kind of want to do, you know, designs where not a lot of people do, because I think those are the most fun to do than, you know, being one of those guys who pretty much does the usual same old stuff.
Yeah, I think you probably are the only person that does offer that one, at least off the top of my head. I can't think of anybody else that does that, and you did an awesome job with that. And speaking of Jason Goes to Hell, I know you recently started offering, you know, the Dagger from Hell in a painted and unpainted version.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about how that came about?
Well, Ruben came up with that idea. He loves Friday the 13th so much. I mean, he wants to, like, have a whole collection of just from all the series. And he was just telling me one day, hey, would it be cool if we just, like, did this dagger and you mold it and cast some copies, or even just for myself? And I was like, sure, that'd be cool. So he got to 3D designing, and then we got it printed, and it came out really cool. And I'm surprised at how awesome it came out that I just started offering to everyone with Ruben's permission. And like I said, it came out pretty cool. I'm surprised, because I'm a fan of crazy designs when it comes to handles on knives, and I think that handle's pretty badass.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it turned out great when I seen it. Of course, I seen your project, your update pics that, you know, you posted kind of along the way, and I was like, damn, you know, that's badass work. I mean, it did turn out great. I figured that would go out, you know, that would go over really well. I mean, people like, you know, I don't necessarily want to refer to it as an odd piece, but it's, you know, something you don't, I've never seen anyone offer that before. I think you're probably the only one.
Yes. And as of right now, Brad's just because that, in a way, it was kind of a pain in the ass to cast because, you know, just flush casting, it doesn't have a pour spout. So you have to actually pour the resin in and turn it yourself for a good 5 minutes with just your hands. So, you know, in a way, once you do, you know, a few of them, you kind of get tired of it and you kind of want to move on to something else.
Oh, yeah, I can definitely understand that. Like I said, it's nice to be able to offer some of those, I guess, rarer, you know, pieces, you know, for the hobby that, you know, not everybody, you know, can offer. So it's nice that you have some of those, you know, kind of rare items.
Yeah, totally.
What, you know, what is there anything, you know, coming up in the future as far as, you know, I guess maybe something that's, you know, rare or, you know, not commonly seen? Do you have anything in the works as far as that goes?
I have a few things. I mean, it's not Friday 13 related. It's more of a Goosebumps related if you're a fan of the TV show.
Oh, sure.
And we have a Sloppy Puppet coming out pretty soon, and the mouth's going to move, and the eyebrows can move as well. And most replicas I've seen is probably like 2, and it doesn't move at all. The mouth is even open. So I kind of wanted to go the extra mile and have the mouth move and pretty much make it look like a legit dummy from the TV show.
Gotcha. Now, like I said, I know you do some of the Halloween stuff also. I know you offer, you know, a number of the Michael Myers knives and whatnot. Are you going to offer any, you know, machetes? I know there's a lot of people that, you know, do the prop machetes out there and stuff, but do you have any, you know, any aspirations to add those to the website out of any of the films in the near future?
Yeah, I still want to do a couple machetes. I'm just trying to figure out what's the best way to cast a couple machetes. Because the machetes are pretty long, and if you cast them out of resin, it's possible they can break just because of how long it is, and it is resin. And then having it in a heated car or the weather can change, it can crack or break. So I'm trying to find a good material that would work best for machetes like that. But I do have a couple ideas on what I want to do machete-wise from Jason.
Awesome. Now, I also noticed that you've done some, you know, 3D printing, you know, for the Jason mask pendants. We've talked about that a little bit. Maybe you can elaborate, you know, on what's going on with those. We recently had Bobby Hodgson from Verse Jason Necklaces who offers some, you know, painted versions of those. Obviously, yours are 3D printed and a little bit different than his. Maybe you can kind of, you know, give us an idea of what's going on with those.
Yeah, pretty much I don't make those. Like, Ruben does the 3D designing. And we just get them, print them from a site we go through. And Ruben just makes every pendant from the movie, and there's some we still need to do. But basically, some people think 3D printing is where you can just copy and paste, which it's totally not like that at all. You actually have to sculpt it on the computer, like you're sculpting with a block of clay, pretty much. And we upload that to our printing site, and then it gives us a list of materials we can print them in, and then if you want them in stainless steel, brass, you know, whatever material pick, it's going to cost a decent amount of money depending what you do. So that's really it. It's pretty much plain and simple for that part. And we hope to have some painted ones pretty soon, too, to fit a couple 1/6 scale figures.
Oh, nice. And just out of curiosity, you know, with the 3D printing, obviously I don't do that myself. So I just was kind of under the assumption that maybe, you know, a hockey mask blank was, you know, 3D printed and used maybe as the basis for a necklace. But it sounds like that's not necessarily the case.
It really depends on what you're doing. I mean, Ruben did do a hockey mask blank from the ground up, and all he did was resize it to make it small as a pendant. So it wasn't really that hard to do.
And what sizes are you currently offering in those? I know I've seen a larger one and a smaller one. What are the options on ordering for those?
As of right now, you would probably have to talk to Ruben about that because he's more familiar with the sizes on the pendants than where I'm familiar with just the bigger scaled stuff.
Awesome. And you said that those can be ordered in stainless steel. Now, can you do, you know, sterling silver? Can you do gold? I mean, what are the options with that too?
To be honest, there's probably at least 20 different materials you can choose from. I have to look on the site and give you a list. But, I mean, there's even one material that says it can be up to $5,000 if you want something out of, like, platinum. Damn. Yeah. It's crazy what you can do with 3D printing now these days and what materials you can get them printed in.
Wow. Well, there you go, Eric. Maybe you can order one out of platinum.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Eric's has a money tree. He has three shower heads in his shower, so I think he needs a platinum Jason mask necklace.
No,
he's gonna need two of them then.
Possibly.
Yeah, he's gonna need one of each in platinum.
Well, see, when I cosplay, I do a mashup of a bunch of different Jasons, and what's caught my eye, there's two things that have definitely caught my eye from you. One, now on the part four, do you guys make the clothing, or do you have a secret Big Mac stash for the shirts, or do you just do Dickies, and do you do Dickies for the pants as well, or what do you use for like the part four? And
I just use Dickies. I mean, if someone emails me saying they particularly want like Big Macs, I'll try to look for Big Macs. If I can't find it, then I'll just tell them if you're okay with just, you know, Dickies.
Right on. I mean, because the Big Mac and the Big Yank are hard to come by these days.
It seems like any costume is really hard to come by if you want it done right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it is. I mean, and you putting it together, it's a labor of love, that's for sure. I totally respect that. Now the shackles for Jason X, are those 3D printed, and what made you want to do that particularly?
Well, that was all of Ruben's idea as well, since he does a Jason X cosplay, and he tried making a couple shackles out of, I think it was foam, and mm-hmm. he said he wanted to do something more legit, and he was like, let's just do 3D printing like we do for other things, and it came out good as well. And I got those printed, and then he painted those himself, and I painted a couple for James Azrael too, because he wanted his shackles for his costume.
Oh yeah, James is good. He's a good dude. I like him a lot.
Same here.
Yeah, I think I've seen those. I see James pretty regularly. James and I don't live that far apart, and we go to a lot of the same shows, and I'm sure the ones that I've seen were probably the ones that you've done.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. He definitely has some Jason X stuff. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, he's a big Jason X fan.
And that's just awesome. I mean, it's one of the more obscure, well, not obscure, but I don't think that people, most people don't receive Jason Goes to Hell and Jason X as well as they do, say, a part four, part five or six, or part four and six. I think that Jason X is one of those films in the movie canon that it needs represented out there. I mean, the mask is badass. The costume is freaking awesome. And that's not even including anything Uber. And I'm looking at it, and I'm just gobsmacked. I'm floored. I mean, it's just, you guys are dead on accurate, and that's just awesome.
Thank you.
Now, as far as custom orders, I know I actually have a part six shirt that I had purchased from you, you know, several years ago that I still actually have for my part six costume. Obviously, you don't have that on your website. So, you know, are you still taking custom orders as far as that goes?
Yes, I did a couple part six costumes. I just haven't had someone to model and just, like, you know, take pictures of and add it to the site. But I can totally do pretty much anything. It's just a matter of if I can get the materials, or, you know, if you have the money to spend
thing, depending on what it is.
Yeah, nowadays it's about the money tree with people. You know, obviously there's a lot of different collectibles, a lot of costumes, a lot of stuff involved, you know, with all the films over the years. So, you know, people kind of have to pick and choose their battles, per se.
Yeah, and these days people want the most accurate costume, but they want it, you know, for like $50.
Yeah, some people I don't think, you know, understand the amount of labor that it takes. You know, for example, that Part 7 costume. Obviously, all those... Yeah. Obviously, all those rips and tears didn't get there, you know, by just, you know, sitting there with a pair of scissors. I mean, there's a process behind that. So I don't think people, most of them, they don't understand how long it actually takes to do that.
And they can't just be anywhere.
And you don't want a costume with just like tears that are just straight with no fray on it, you know, which it looks like just scissors.
Yeah, it looks like a Ruby's costume is what it ends up looking like. And I mean, and those rips and tears, they're deliberate, you know, they're there for a reason especially for someone who wants to cosplay something that's very screen accurate. Those rips and tears on every one of the costumes, I mean, they're deliberate. I mean, just like the damage on hockey mask. And I mean, it's just tedious work.
And you want it to look natural looking too. And it really is tedious work too.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing with cosplaying is, you know, there's some great costumes out there. And obviously there's some that aren't so great. You know, it depends on, you know, what your budget is and what your knowledge is, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that's the main thing that you see with some of the costumes is the weathering is just not up to par. You know, people like to take shortcuts and whatnot.
And it's crazy because I've seen people at conventions who have like a really, really accurate mask and it looks amazing. It's just the clothes aren't good, or it could be the clothes are really good, but the mask is bad, vice versa. Right.
I've seen it 1,000 times. It's just something that's off. I mean, it could be, you know, whether it's, it doesn't matter if the hood's latex or if it's silicone, it does, none of that matters. I mean, the latex mask that you wear, I mean, if by anybody's standard is a piece of crap, but that thing photographs better than anything I've ever seen. It does.
Yeah, it does. It does photograph well, and that's the thing with photography. You know, I mean, you don't necessarily have to have, you know, a $600, you know, which I do have, you know, some of the higher priced silicone hoods, but you can have a cheaper latex version that photographs just as well as the silicone does. That's the thing with photography and lighting and filters and all that good shit. I mean, you can make something that's, you know, that costs a sixth of what the silicone costs, you know. I mean, you can make it look just as good in photography.
Also, in the end, it really helps on the paint job, too. If it's a good paint job, it probably for, even if it's latex or silicone, it could be good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have an older Versus latex hood that has been around the block. I mean, I've worn that thing. I don't know how many gallons of sweat's been through it. I mean, it's been, you know, it's had the fuck worn out of it. And you look at it in broad daylight, it really doesn't look that great. You know, the paint's peeling. I mean, it's been abused. It's been worn. It's served its time. But goddamn, when it's on, you know, when it's on camera, it looks fucking amazing.
It does. It genuinely does. And so how long have you guys been doing this? How long have you had Beyond Disgusting Studios?
I would say I've been doing this around 8 years, and then BDS started probably, I would say, a good 5 years.
Oh, wow. Right on. And is it you that sews the sack heads?
Oh, no, that would be Chris. That's my sack mask artist. He's the fabric guy when it comes to any type of fabric masks. Chris Christensen.
So, I mean, you guys just, you have a wide swath. I mean, it says you have 4 people going at it and at once. So, do you each have your own specialty, your own area at which you excel?
Ruben is the 3D guy. He does like the 3D designs, 3D whatever. Chris is more of the fabric guy who does any type of fabric masks, fabric costumes. And I'm basically whatever. I can do painting, molding, sculpting, just wide selection of different things, or they're just set on, you know, one or two things.
Right on. Right on. And do you guys sculpt your own molds?
Depending on, like, if we 3D print something, I do the molding mostly, unless it's super complex, then I usually have help who helps me. But for the most part, we do our own molds.
Also, I noticed that you do offer the 2009 remake hood in a couple different versions. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, we offer that hood, which is about to be retired pretty soon because the mold's about to be shot just because of how many blanks we pulled out. But yeah, that's sculpted by Jonathan Fuller. Usually, if I don't have enough time to sculpt something, I usually have him do it just because he used to live down the street from me, so it's pretty much just a walk. But now, since he moved to San Diego, I usually drive out there once in a while. And if I can't sculpt anything right at this moment, then I have him do it. And he did a pretty good job on it and matched it up with a Honda mask.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely did a good job on that. Obviously, you're out in L.A. You know, I know there's conventions and stuff that go on out there, just like there are all the way across the country. How much do you get outside of your home area as far as conventions go?
Well, I don't live in L.A., like in deep L.A. I'm more of like L.A. and San Diego. It's pretty much a 2-hour drive for me either way. I'm in the middle between them. But convention-wise, we get probably 3 horror conventions a year, where we get, I want to say, 8 comic book conventions a year.
Yeah, you definitely get a lot of Comic-Cons out there. I mean, I know there's some horror conventions and stuff, but, you know, nowadays it's nothing for people to hop on a plane and, you know, travel, you know, halfway across the country just to, you know, get one autograph, you know, from somebody that might be a rare catch for him. So I know I haven't caught you at any of the shows that I've been at yet, and obviously we're quite the distance apart. So I was just kind of curious how often you get, you know, outside of the L.A. San Diego area.
Have you guys been to Mask Fest yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have. Actually, Eric and I were there together this year. I go usually every year.
Oh, awesome. I plan on going to Mask Fest this year, I hope.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to skip Comic-Con to do Mask Fest. Hopefully, I can vend there, too. It all depends on money situation, but plan on going there either way.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, Eric actually is in Indianapolis, and I'm only about 220 miles from there, so I usually go to that show every year, you know, regardless. So if you're there, we'll definitely catch you.
Nice, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I haven't made it out to any shows in the California area. You know, that's kind of on the, I guess, the to-do list, but you know how things come up.
Yeah, totally. Same with me going to conventions out of state.
Yeah, I mean, with the traveling, and especially if you're carrying, you know, stuff to be signed that might be fragile and all that good stuff, you know, you kind of don't want it to be in the hands of the airline people. You know, something might get damaged or whatnot, so it can be a little bit of a pain.
Yeah, and it can get pretty expensive, too. I mean, you got your plane ticket, hotel. Then if you want to get anything to be signed, instead of doing an airline, you can always ship it, which, depending on how big your piece is, it can be really expensive just to ship it, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the price is just, I don't know how they are out on the West Coast, but the shows that I've been to recently, you know, especially over the last, like, couple of years, I mean, the autograph prices just keep climbing. So it's almost, you know, with some stuff, it's you know, it just costs so much to get it signed that a lot of people, I think, are just kind of holding back on that.
Yeah, I remember the minimum back then was like close to $15 or $20 for an autograph. Now people want a minimum of 25 and up, and crazy prices even to like $100 for an autograph.
Yeah. Yeah, I can remember, you know, when the standard average was about $20 per person, you know, and that was pretty much everybody that was there. I mean, obviously, if you had a bigger named person there, they would, you know, charge a little bit more, but that seemed to be the average. Nowadays, that's certainly not the case.
No, it's not.
And even paying for a photo op or a picture with them plus an autograph, which is ridiculous, too. Have that.
Yeah, I mean, looking at photo ops and pictures, I mean, sometimes you're looking at a $100 bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but do you have any upcoming projects or, you know, anything in the works that you'd like to share with us? I know you're involved in an upcoming film, which I'll let you, you know, talk about that if you want to. But just anything that you'd like to, you know, share with us for future projects?
Yeah, if you guys are Nightmare Before Christmas fans, I'm working on Shock, Lock, and Barrel, doing those out of plastic, which I think it'd be cool having more plastic masks to offer. And working on a BioShock bunny mask, if you guys play that video game at all. It's one of the Splicer masks. And then the Goosebumps slappy head we're working on too. So far, that's it as of right now. I do have little projects I want to do from Goosebumps, which I'm a big fan of. So just pretty much that's it.
Project one. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Goosebumps is definitely popular, so I'm sure that's probably going to go over well. Mm-hmm. Eric, did you have anything?
No. Where can our fans get a hold of you?
You can contact me or Ruben or any of our artists through beyonddiscussingstudios.com. That's our website. We also have a Facebook page. It's the same, Beyond Discussing Studios.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Josh, you know what? I appreciate you joining us. We appreciate your time, and you know, thanks for being on.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, all right, please rate, review, and subscribe wherever the fuck you listen to the show. If you want to support us financially, head over to campbloodpodcast.com/donate. If you think you or someone you know should be featured on the show, you can hit us up on the contact tab on the website or comment on the show notes at campbloodpodcast.com/83. And also, please consider checking out some of the other shows under the Astro Panda Productions. And you can find this show and others at astropandaproductions.com. A special thanks goes out to the Downriver Rat for our intro and outro music. You can find his stuff out at thedownriverrat.com. Until next time.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.